Welcome to the Bold Brave Women Story Hour, where we share with you the heroic and intimate journeys of everyday women to inspire and accompany you as you boldly face your day and bravely make a difference in the world. And here's your hostess, master relationship coach, best-selling author, award-winning international speaker, and founder of the Bold Brave Women Club, Mei Vu.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Bold Brave Woman Conversation with Mei Vu. I am your relationship and love expert for the entrepreneurial moms out there. Today I have with me one of my favorite friends. She's new to me, and I just am so delighted to discover more and more about her. Her name is Lisa. Lisa, could you say your middle name for me? I haven't learned to say that correctly.
Oh, sure. It's Lisa Marie, after Elvis, his daughter.
So Lisa Marie Digas?
Lisa Marie okay. Regas.
Lisa Marie Regas. So Lisa is mother of three. She's an entrepreneur, a semi-professional athlete, and an extreme adventurer. That's a very bold thing to claim, an extreme adventurer. I am an adventurer, but never would I declare extreme because I don't really want to have to work that hard. But what her latest love is to be the champion of saving the reefs in Sarasota, Florida coast, which is such a badass thing to do. And I love your passion about everything that you do, and I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you so much, Mei. It's wonderful to be here today.
Yay! So let's just dive in. You know, what would you like to share with me and the audience about your Bold Brave journey?
Well, you know what? My Bold Brave journey has definitely been a long one. I'd like to say that, you know, when we all start out in life, we have all these all these plans and expectations of what we want our life to be. And I always say, you know what? There were a couple of brochures they forgot to hand me when I was younger because life did a little bit of a 360. But now looking back, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for all of those experiences that took me off of my path to get me where I am today.
Oh, I love this preparation, this place. It's like, I feel like, ooh, there's a warning. You know, let's hear about all the off paths that you have been on so that you can be on the right path.
Exactly. And you know what? Life, that's what makes life so exciting, Mei. So.
Yeah. So what happened?
Where do we begin, right? So, well, I'm originally from Chicago. I was born and raised in Chicago, and, you know, I came from a very blue-collar family, and my mom always used to say, you know, the apple usually doesn't fall far from the tree, but the apple fell farther from the tree when we had our daughter, Lisa, because she always was just so curious about life and never wanted to settle. And so I remember from a very young age, I was knocking on the doors in my neighborhood selling little handmade drawings for $5 each. And I'd come back home and my mom would say, oh my gosh, you need to give the neighbors back their money. I says, what do you mean? I'm an entrepreneur. I made a product and I'm selling it and people are buying it. So I always was I had a lot of inhibitions when I was younger. And but I always pretty much followed the books and I followed the path. So I, you know, went to church, I went to school, I went to college, and everything was pretty much by the book. And when I was in high school, I actually met my high school sweetheart, and he was a couple of years older than me, and he was getting scouted for professional soccer at the time. And we had been seeing each other on and off for about 7 years He had started traveling the world and was in the MLS in the United States, and then went off to play in Greece and Yugoslavia and Italy. And eventually, 7 years later, he had asked me to marry him. And shortly after that, we had our first son. So by 23 years old, I was married, and I had my first son. So up until that point, it was very textbook in my life. And but I'd like to say it was the next day. However, that may be too bold, May. But I want to say by the next day, things changed drastically. And I was some things I didn't realize is that I had married into a family with extremely strong historic beliefs, and they had just assumed me to literally become another person after I put a ring on my finger. And I'll never forget the next day I went to my now in-laws' house, and I sat at the kitchen table, and I had known these people for 7 years, and they were wonderful people. And this next day, though, changed everything. And my father-in-law sat back in his chair, and he says, "Lisa, I'd like to show you how I want my son treated." And
oh,
I said,
my God.
"Okay." And he says, "I'm going to give you an example." And he sits back in his chair, and he yells for his wife, and he goes, "Sia, Sia, come here." And I'm not understanding fully what's happening. And she comes running from the other side of the house with her hands folded in front of her. "Yes, Piero. Yes, Piero. Yes, Piero. How can I help you?" He goes, "Get me a napkin. Get me a napkin." And literally, she reaches over to get him a napkin and hand it to him on the table. But the napkin was right next to him.
Right.
So he was supposedly teaching me a lesson that's how he wanted his son treated, was that I was to wait on him hand and foot. And that was my new role that I had assumed being married. So
I have to catch up with you. Just hearing that makes me want to just cry. Like, there's a shock to my system so violently that it's like, it's like you just got put into the worst prison ever.
That's how I felt, May. In fact, you know, I think, you know, the idea of marriage and just the fantasy of it all is so played to be so warm and fuzzy. And so my whole life leading up to that, I just dreamed on this day, and I just sat there with almost like fear running through my veins, telling myself, what did I just do? Like, what just happened? And so from then on, I had realized that I was in a little bit deeper situation than I had really realized. And some of it was, too, that I was naive and vulnerable because I was young and I didn't know how to ask the right questions at the time. But on the flip side, it was also a situation that I had to accept at the moment because it was all brand new. And so my mind, I came from this family where my parents still hold hands to this day. They've been married almost 50 years. And so I kept telling myself, maybe it's going to get better. Or maybe I need to learn how to work at this. And but it didn't. And so over the years, my husband was raised in a family that it was common and acceptable that I would be expected to stay home and raise the children, but I could never disagree with anything he said, and he would have the freedom to come and go as he pleased, and that would mean regular nights of coming home whenever he felt like it, and still being in the limelight and, you know, going with his friends and traveling, but none of that included us. So on the outside,
hang on a second. So did he, first of all, did he ever hit you? Was that acceptable too in the family?
No.
Okay, well, that's,
no, but
okay.
He was very verbal. There was a lot of verbal, you know, I couldn't disagree with something. He would raise his voice. he would raise his voice a lot and make sure that, you know, he stood his ground and that his word was the word, whether that be with the children or with anything in the home. So, but he was never physical, but there was definitely a lot of verbal. And what started to happen is over the years, especially my oldest son, because he was the firstborn, he started to become verbal as well. And that's when I started to really realize that that if I didn't take care of this now, I would be raising another child just like his father. And and that really scared me. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So then on the outside, everything looks gorgeous and beautiful. And on the inside, you were hurting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would attend weddings alone. I would attend family functions alone. He almost lived another life. And when his professional soccer career was finished, you know, when they play professional, they have to give up all college scholarships. So he literally didn't have a career. So soccer was done. He was injured. And so I had to step up because now I'm the one with the education. And we had this home and we have all these expenses. And so now I was forced to go to work full time and take over the responsibility of raising our kids because he didn't have any type of a career beyond his professional. And so I was almost being punished for doing everything by the book in my life, if that makes sense. Like I was punished for being successful. So now I was forced to do everything. And I just became so just exhausted. And I was almost desensitized. That's the one word that I used to relate is I'm completely desensitized. Things just didn't even, I couldn't relate to happy, sad, excited, anything anymore. I was just like this empty person because I was tired and I didn't have anything to look forward to anymore. I loved my children, but I was just doing all the work. I never really got to enjoy them.
Right.
And I just knew I couldn't go on like that.
Yeah.
I knew in my heart that although my family and everyone I knew was happily married, that something wasn't right and it wasn't going to change unless I changed.
Yeah.
So.
And that word is so potent, desensitized. It's probably more poisonous and more dangerous than some other words that could be more violent because he's desensitized. There's this quietness and the numbness and the invisibleness of that is so.
Exactly. So, but I used to say, you know, you would pull in our driveway and you'd see this big, beautiful home and think, oh, that sweet family inside with the three kids, and they had no idea what was going on behind the other doors. And
right.
When my daughter was old enough to enter preschool, I desperately said to myself, I either need to make a 110% effort to get on a very deep level of communication and see if I could fix my marriage, or I have to leave my marriage, but I'm at the moment of decision. And so, of course, my first option was communication. And so I tried for 3 weeks, I just tried just to sit him down to talk to him. And in a 3-week period of time, he was home for 4 days and didn't listen to a word I said. And so the next time he came home, I already had an apartment. And I told him the day I was leaving.
Aw, I'm so proud of you. That's just so badass. It's like,
well,
it's so badass in so many ways, right? So you were on your feet. You made your own money. You created so that you could have an exit out, and you gave it your best, and you take action, and it's like that's it. And it's just so powerful to hear that.
Thanks, May. Well, you know, there's a quote that I love from Barbara Corcoran, and the quote goes like this. The difference between successful people and others is how long they feel sorry for themselves. And so I love that quote because that was really where I was at. And I told myself that I've now made the decision and I have to put all efforts into moving on. And so I invested a lot in personal development. I got very healthy so that I had the energy and I moved forward as fast as I could. And I could not be where I am today if that decision wasn't made that day. You know, looking back, I would have been in a completely different place. So I'm not suggesting that that's for everyone, but as a last case scenario, that was the best decision I ever made. And from there, I actually got the best job ever during the timing, May, because I got my first job in marketing for headliner comedians who happen to live in Sarasota. And so it was a very challenging job, but I was around laughter all the time. They would not allow me to be sad. And so they scooped me up, and I was at different comedy shows every night of the week, all over the country. And
my
parents helped me. They stepped in really to help a lot with the kids at the time. And so from then, I really just got very serious in marketing. I loved marketing, and I started getting a lot of advanced education in it and became at cutting edge in a very short period of time. And from there, it's history. The one thing I can say, though, is someone came to me at one time when I was starting to put in a lot of hours and starting to be away from my kids, and they said, Lisa, you need to carve your life first and then carve your career around that. And so what I decided to do one summer was back out from a full-time job and become a consultant. And I said to myself, I want to be there when I drop my kids off of the bus. And I want to be there when they get off the bus, because the years had started to go by really fast. And so I wrote down all the wishes that I wanted that were really important to me. That included taking care of my health. I said, I want to run every morning, and I want to bike. I have to take care of myself so I could take care of everyone else. And when I did that, the universe delivered. And so for 10 years following that, I had a very successful marketing consulting firm. And I kid you not, I worked from about 10 to 3 in the afternoon and had more clients than I could handle. I didn't even have to market myself. I was booked solid. And I loved what I did. I had so much energy. I was so happy. And it was complete balance with my family. So it is possible. You have to just have a plan and really just, you know, accept all opportunity around you. But it's been a wild journey, but it's been a good one, May.
I have to ask this question that I actually get asked all the time, and now I'm like, oh, my God, here it is. So the question is, well, actually, it's a question. Is it really a question? No, it's actually more like a statement, a doubtful statement. It's more like, well, it's easier for you because you're cute, because you're tall, because you're beautiful, because you're blonde, because you're smart, because blah, blah, blah. Is it true that, you know, the difference between successful people and others is how long they feel sorry for themselves and carve your life and then carve your career around it. Is that real? You know, can you really just walk away from everything and have the best marketing career, blah, blah, blah? So I'm like making up a story that, no, it's not, it doesn't work for me. It only works for you, Lisa.
Oh, yeah. The poor me syndrome.
I'm different. I'm worse, right?
Or I'm different
than you. Yes.
I cannot even relate to that because, you know, in, you know, you see me and May, you know me today of who I am, but I have a lot of years that are very dark. And I was not healthy. My skin was just like white and I had bags under my eyes. I was very depressed. So when you say, oh, well, it's just beauty and May, that's not true at all. Two things, relentless determination. Mm-hmm. I was not going to stop under any circumstance. Mm-hmm. And the one thing too is that I told myself I don't want to suffer. So 70% of women who go on to be single mothers are literally living at a poverty level. And that's from, you know, coming from a very affluent life. And those statistics are real. And the thing about it is that I wanted to sustain the same quality of life. And I wanted to give my kids that warm, nurturing family atmosphere that I had set out as one of my goals. And so it's relentless determination and not giving up. I just, and it's the compound effect, just do something every single day. Even if it's the smallest step forward, it's still a step forward. It was amazing how much the little things added up over time. But I would be working at night. I would be working on weekends writing it wasn't, all peaches and cream all the time. But I was making the effort. And the other thing, too, is that I had to get really good at asking for help. And that's something that I had problems with because, we started out young, but we started out in real estate investing. And so I didn't have to ask for help financially ever really in my life. And during the times that I was having such hard times in my marriage, I was so embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to know. And so I kept all those feelings inside. And so when I was on my own, I had a really hard time asking for help because I really never had to. And so learning how to ask for help and the right help and not feeling guilty about that was something that I had to learn how to do. But that, May, is something that that was very integral part of getting where I am today.
I love it. I love your relentless determination. I love your clarity. I love your ballsiness and your badassery. It's so refreshing.
Thank you.
Well, so I have another question now, because I do see, now I work with bold and brave women to help them rebuild their life and go through all these things and create exactly what you're talking about, right? And I do see a difference here, is that somehow at the end of your journey, like you came out of this hard time and more beautiful and younger and fresher and all that stuff. And there are a lot of women who go through this and they are relentless. They put their head down. They do what they need to do, but they don't become more beautiful and younger. They become older, haggard, giving up on life, giving up on the good stuff about life just so that they can pay off that debt that their ex-husband left them with, or take care of their kids so that they can, you know, provide them what you just talked about. What's the difference? How come you didn't end up like that?
That's a really great question, May. And I get actually asked that a lot. One is your mindset. You know, your mindset has to be in the right place. You have to learn how to love yourself. You have to learn how to love being alone with yourself. And that's something that I realized early on was that my mind had so much swirling inside of it. And so besides personal development, I actually was really drawn towards meditation, and I got very involved for 2 years in mindfulness. And I became part of a group here in Sarasota that's led by a gentleman named Michael Gregory, who is an amazing amazing, amazing person. And for 2 years, I attended regular sessions, and I just learned about, you know, how our mind really works and what's real and what's not, and just learning how to be happy and content with ourselves. So that was one thing. And through that, I also realized that, you know, in order to wake up and feel good about myself every day, I need to take care of my body. And I mm-hmm. made that an absolute no-excuse priority. And so, but I also like to have fun too. So I found ways where maybe I didn't need any money. I just learned mm-hmm. how to find ways to get out in nature, explore, take my children, inspire them as well. I prioritize sleep. I get no less than 8 hours of sleep a night. And anyone who knows me knows this, because I have honed in that as long as I get 8 hours of sleep, I feel wonderful the next day. And so mm-hmm. I started to guard that more and say, all right, well, in order to be happy and in the right mind and have energy, there are certain things that we also have to do and create as routine, like positive routine in our life. And so, you know, to answer your question, it's a compound of all of these things. And what I eat, I would make better choices. And, you know, people laugh at me because I have my signature organic green drink. But to me, that's what I fuel my body with, because it's really important to me that mm-hmm. I continue to look good and feel good. And, you know, my eyes are clear and I'm happy. So it's a combination of different things about just taking care of me a priority, and also having fun. And it doesn't need to take money. It doesn't. It just needs to take effort and just a little bit of self-motivation to get out of the house. And it's amazing, even on your worst day, if you just go take a walk and then listen to what's around you, just nature will make you feel so much better. Getting some sun on your skin, it will make you feel so much better.
You know, as I'm listening to you, what I get that is clearly the difference, and it's such an important distinction here for the audience to make note here, is that you were self-driven. You drove from inner out. You guarded your space. You guarded what's important to you. You guarded your sleep. You chose things. You put yourself first, and then you built your career, your foundation. What I see a lot of bold and brave women do that really run themselves in the ground is that they put the circumstances first. So they would right. still be like you, determined to work hard to dig themselves out, but their job, their work, whatever it is that they're into, drove them. And then they sacrifice their body, they sacrifice their mind, they sacrifice their sleep, and they are running in deficit. And what I'm hearing from you is that, no, you put yourself in first, and then you build the other pieces, and then you took out all the things that was unnecessary or was harmful to you.
Right, and that's pretty spot on. So, and through that, the opportunities will come. They'll come rushing through, because that's the magnetic attraction of the universe. You know, it's going to attract to that positive energy. And if you're not emitting positive energy, whether that be your mind or your body or your health, then it will compound, but in a negative way, you know, and then you'll start getting tired, and then you'll be irritable. And then when you see your children, you'll be starting to take that out on them, and they'll start becoming irritable and depressed. And it's a catapult of, you know, a downhill spiral. And if you do prioritize yourself and just look at the whole body, even if it's, like I said, a little here, a little here, a little here, it's amazing how much more positiveness and opportunity will be attracted into your life, just that as a result.
I think we nailed it today on this one. I hope this message gets really clear to everyone out there, is that shit happens. Shit happens to all of us. There are, and when shit happens, we are ragged. We are taken down. We hurt. We get desensitized. We get lonely. We beat ourselves up, all that stuff. But how long you stay in that place makes the difference between when you're going to get out and thrive again versus getting stuck in there and losing yourself and losing your children in that mess. And so it does take guts to get out. It is not easy, and it's not easier for May, or it's not easier for Lisa or Judy, or anyone who's been on my show. It's just as hard for all of us as it is for you out there. But the key that's been laid out so beautifully today by you, Lisa, is prioritize yourself first. You know, put your sleep in first, put your well-being first, put your body in first. Get out there and let nature hold you, love you, and replenish you, and then work your butt off to get to whatever you want to do to accomplish in this lifetime. And trust that when you prioritize yourself first, all good things will just come sucking to you because you become a humongous magnet for it all.
That's
Amen.
Right, absolutely.
Hands down,
Amen to
done.
That. Yes.
We can drop the microphone now. Oh my gosh. This is so beautiful, and thank you for these beautiful sayings. And you already named them, but I, for the sake of consistency, I'd like to ask you this question anyway, which is, what is your life motto?
My life motto. Oh my gosh, that's a good one. Well, because I like, there's two that I like, and the first one is we kind of talked about it because it's kind of from what you hear when you're traveling an airplane is, you know, take care
put
of you first before you put your mask on first before you take care of others. And then I absolutely love this quote from Tony Robbins: in your moments of indecision, your destiny is shaped. In your moments of indecision, your destiny is shaped, because it's what you do when you make choices in your life that shape your destiny. But you have to make choices.
Mm-hmm. You have to make the choice.
You have to make the choices.
Yeah.
You
and
have
when
to.
You don't, you are also making choices right there too. When you're
you
indecisive,
are.
You're also making a choice right there.
Because you're not sending a clear message to the universe. The universe doesn't know how to help you because you're not making the decision. You're not putting it out there. So you have to put it out there in the universe for the universe to hear you.
Yeah. Oh, Lisa, thank you so much for being here with us today and for sharing your beautiful story, but most important of all, your indomitable spirit.
Thank you, May. I'm happy to be here to share my story. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and to all of my beautiful audience out there, my listeners, I bless you and wish you a bold and brave day. And wherever you're at, if you could use some support, if you could use a lovely community to be around you with women like Lisa and me and Judy and every other woman that you have listened to on this podcast, join us. We are on Facebook called Bold Brave Women. It's a private group, but all you have to do is ask and tell us what it is that you're hoping to get by being a part of the group, and I will be glad to join to invite you in. And then you might also end up on my show to tell your story and inspire other women out there who are bold and brave and courageously going on their life journey together with us. Namaste, everyone, and looking forward to the next conversation with Bold Brave Woman Conversation with May Vu, your host.
Thanks for listening. We hope you were touched, moved, and inspired by today's story. If you resonate with these stories and would love to tell yours, then join our Bold Brave Women Club on Facebook, facebook.com/boldbravewomen.